It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, welcome in to the fan-run studios of Fox Sports in Knoxville. Overtime is clocking in here today at 6:02. Two-man show tonight. I'm your host, Tanner Carson, and my partner in crime for this evening, taking you up until 8 o'clock, is Cole McCormick. Cole.
Hey.
Gotta love the two-man deal.
Yeah. Two-man shows are always fun.
It's okay. It's like a tag team thing.
Sure.
We can be up there with some of the greatest tag teams of all time. You had Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage.
Yeah.
You had the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys. I know you don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
I do not.
That's why we kind of need Rick.
Yeah.
For him to get my wrestling references. But just so you know, those are really good tag teams I'm talking about.
Okay.
Really good tag teams. By the way, Cole, I forgot to tell you, so it's my bad if you try to start scrambling. It's a certain day today.
Oh, no.
It's a day that falls in the middle of the week. It's sandwiched, I do believe, between Tuesday and Thursday.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Oh, man. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It is Wednesday, my dudes. Oh, already a hump day yet again. I think every week flies by even faster now, and it kind of sucks that it's in the middle of football season that the weeks have to start flying by.
Yeah.
Because I like to enjoy my football when it's the
when
spring.
It's good.
When especially good. Since we had last weekend's results.
Yeah.
So, I was hoping for it to go by a little faster in September.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying wake me up when September ends.
Yeah.
Then wake me up when October ends.
Yeah.
And November. But now I'm like, okay, we might have something interesting.
Yeah. Get hype.
Not this weekend, though.
Not this weekend. Next weekend and on.
You know what? I'll burn a couch if we don't get shut out.
Let's do it.
How about that?
Let's do it.
That's what's looking like this upcoming weekend, but as we've been saying here throughout the early portion of this week, you just can't get discouraged whatever happens.
No.
Because if something bad happens to you, they've done to other people.
Mm-hmm. They do it to everybody.
Yeah.
They do it to everybody.
They do. So there's no reason. There's no reason to try to abandon all hope or anything like that. It just is what it is. Still feeling hyped about stuff.
Yeah.
And want some other stuff to feel hyped about. Ooh. Let's start off with this today. SEC Basketball Media Days.
Yes.
Down in Beham.
Yes.
You hyped yet?
Oh, I'm
you
excited.
You hyped talking about some hoops?
I'm excited.
# SEC Basketball Fever. It is back.
Yeah.
Oh. It is back in a big way. Media Days taking place down there in the heart of Bamy. And couple representatives from the Vols were down there today. Those representatives being, of course, head coach Rick Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
And the duo, affectionately known as Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Yeah.
Old PB&J, Grant Williams, and Admiral Schofield. Although I do believe Admiral Schofield is now the jelly.
Yeah, I think so.
And Grant is the peanut butter.
I think so.
Because I think they have like some debate about what is better, peanut butter or jelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, just random question. Where do you stand on that? Just peanut butter or jelly? You a bigger jelly fan? You a bigger PB fan?
Peanut butter all the way. All. If I had to pick one, yeah, I'm peanut butter.
Are you the type of person who you still might do it. Just put a bunch of peanut butter between two pieces of bread.
Yes.
Just eats it. Do you eat peanut butter just out of the jar with a spoon?
Yes.
Okay.
I love peanut butter.
I love peanut butter, too.
Love it.
I'm more of a jelly person.
Okay.
I'm more of a jelly person.
I like jelly, too.
And I love peanut butter, and that's not disrespecting peanut butter. Hey, I bought a little pack of Reese's Cups today.
Love Reese's.
For my snack.
Love Reese's.
Love peanut butter. But, I don't know, jelly, that just makes me think of just being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Being a kid and getting jelly all over my toast.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of grape jelly.
I am too.
But I also love strawberry jelly.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you like jam? Or are you a jelly person?
I like it.
You like the pieces of fruit?
I do. Okay. Depends on what it is. If it's strawberry jam, yes. If it's anything else, no.
How about blackberry?
You know, I've never
been blackberry jam's pretty good.
It is good. I don't know. Like, I just don't like, because sometimes, you know, you get the seeds in there with them. And I don't like the seeds. I don't know. I mean, I like blackberry jam and jelly. It's definitely not my first choice.
It's fair. I don't know. I just I've got a sweet tooth, so I'm going to side with the sweeter option.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, not disrespecting peanut butter, but man, I love tasting that sugar.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I love putting jelly, like I said, on toast.
Yeah.
All the time on biscuits. Put it on biscuits with butter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so good.
So good. And the PB&J sandwich, of course. Love me some jelly, man. Always going to love me some jelly. But, yeah, PB&J, the Tennessee Hoops duo, Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams, going to try to pull up a bunch of these accolades here that were given out at SEC Media Days today. But, of course, the all-important thing for Media Days is always – the preseason predictions.
Yeah.
The preseason predictions. What? Who the media thinks is going to do well, that is what's usually on a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we got a relationship with media preseason picks going back to last season.
Yeah.
Who can forget picking the Vols to finish 13th out of the 14 teams. And you saw what happened there.
Yeah, they know a lot.
You saw what happened there. So the media predictions, it's not the be-all, end-all. It's just something to discuss. And something to discuss what we think might happen.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Here's the preseason media poll. Start from the bottom, work our way up. Dead last, Ole Miss. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I'm not either.
I think Kermit Davis was a good hire for a program at the level that Ole Miss is.
I do too.
I think he's going to eventually have that team being very competitive. But he's got some work to do.
Speaking of Kermit, I took a screenshot of him in the Ole Miss get up and sent it to my sister. She's a proud MTSU grad. I said, hey, how much does this hurt? She says, more than you know. More than you know.
MTSU did lose a good one.
Yeah, he's a very good coach. Very good coach.
Ole Miss will be okay under him after a while, but just this year, with how competitive this conference is, yeah, it's going to be tough. Also, this one kind of surprised me, although I do know that they lost some star power. Georgia, 13th. But hey, that 13 spot could end up being lucky for Georgia.
Exactly, yeah.
Because what I think gets lost in a lot of the SEC basketball hype is the fact that Tom Crean is coaching Georgia.
Yeah.
The Tom Crean with his the dumbest look on his face whenever something is
always
he's shocking always, happens.
He's always confused.
Coaching the Bulldogs down there. Bulldogs are going to be without Nyante Maton, their AP SEC Player of the Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big time presence for them. He got drafted. So, I don't know how that roster exactly looks. That's another program that's going to end up being okay.
I think so, too.
I don't know how well Georgia basketball could be. I don't know what the ceiling for that program is.
Yeah.
They'll be okay under Tom Crean.
Yeah, they'll do good.
Because what he was at Indiana was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
He had some great teams, and he had some pretty mediocre teams.
Sure.
So, who knows what you're going to get. Okay, let's go through these and let's get to our top five. Texas A&M, number 12. I would figure they would have been one of the last couple of teams.
Yeah.
South Carolina at 11.
Okay.
Frank Martin's still trying to rebuild from those Final Four squads.
Yeah.
Or squad, duh.
Squad.
He only went to one Final Four. Arkansas at 10, the basketball powerhouse.
Huh. That's kind of surprising
to me. They think they're a basketball powerhouse.
That's kind of surprising to me.
Kwanzo.
Ooh.
In Mizzou at 9. Hmm. Vandy. With their really good recruiting class.
Yeah.
At number 8. Bama at 7.
Hmm. Okay.
Bama and Avery Johnson at 7. Chubby-cheeked Will Wade and the LSU Fighting Tigers at 6. Also another team that had a stellar recruiting class.
Yeah.
Probably cheated his ass off to get them.
Yes.
But who knows? We'll get into that discussion later. Because I feel like this is, with the big victory that happened Saturday and with the football talk, this is something that we've not got to touch on yet. There's a lot of stuff going on with college basketball scandals and the FBI matter.
Oh, yeah.
And some alleged details. We'll get into that later. All right, top five here. The Gators and Mike White, number five.
Ugh.
Always going to have a solid squad, Florida is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State at number four. Bringing back a lot of experience, Ben Howland is.
Ben Howland.
That's a team that's going to be a tough out. They will especially be a tough out to whoever has to go down to the hump.
Yeah, he had a lot of high praise today for Coach Mark.
Absolutely did. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of high praise.
We'll get into some of those quotes later as well. All right, your top three coming in at the Dale Earnhardt spot. Bruce.
Yeah.
Bruce and the Tigers.
Yeah.
Another team that's brought back a lot of talent and has also recruited well.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, your Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah.
A whole 11 spots higher than what they were predicted.
Big time improvement.
To finish this time last year, which leaves, of course, number one. Boo. Boo. Kentucky.
The mouth breathers.
Of course. Then picking up Reed Travis from Stanford, in addition to what Cal brings in every year.
It's huge.
Of course, the media was going to fawn over them.
Yep. I mean, but honestly,
I can't necessarily argue that much against it. I think any of those top three teams have an argument for number one.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay if you're Tennessee. It's okay if you're Rick Barnes. You can still feel very disrespected being picked to finish second in a league that you won last year.
Sure.
I think Auburn's going to feel disrespected as well.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's fine. That's one of the things that we kind of worried about the expectations that are going to be on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly your expectations are a lot higher in the conference versus last year.
Yeah.
I still think that this team can have a chip on their shoulder.
I do too.
So that's your preseason poll right there. Any shockers, Cole?
I kind of think Alabama is a little too high. I mean, their entire offense was Colin Sexton last year. And I don't, off the top of my head, I don't think they got another big-time five-star recruit unless there's
I'm going to check that. I think they had a good recruiting class. I don't know.
I mean, Colin Sexton was their offense. And he is no longer there.
He was.
So I think maybe a few spots back for them. Maybe bump Arkansas up a little bit more because they did return some seniors. I mean, maybe bump Kwanzo back a spot or two as well. I don't think they're going to be all that great.
I think the media just loves Kwanzo. The media's always loved Kwanzo.
I do too.
Okay, let me tell you what Alabama added with the 2018 class. It's not bad. Good for 24th in the country, 6th in the SEC. A signing class of three players, headlined by four-star top 40 player in the country, point guard, to fill in that Colin Sexton role. You got Kira Lewis from Hazel Green, Alabama.
Okay.
What's with Alabama producing really good high school basketball players? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
And they also have 2 3-stars. They have Deontay Wood, another player from Alabama, shooting guard. And from Canton, Mississippi, you have a 6'9". 3-star center, Javion Davis Fleming. So that's what they got. So they got top 40 player in the country.
Okay.
And I do think they returned a fair amount of good talent. And the fact that Avery Johnson, once again, man, there's a lot of good coaches in this league.
Yeah, there are.
And Avery Johnson is a coach who garners respect.
Yeah.
A guy who's had NBA experience, a guy who's, you know, developed that program down in Tuscaloosa pretty well.
Sure.
And run through your first and second team, all SEC selections. Your first team squad, Daniel Gafford of Arkansas, probably the best defensive player in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reed Travis, Kentucky, of course. Tremont Waters of LSU. Got Chris Silva of South Carolina. I feel like he's been there for 50 years.
Yeah, he has.
And big Grant Williams for Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
Round out your first team. Your second team here, got two Auburn players, Bryce Brown, Jared Harper. Bryce Brown, man, that's kind of like, is that like Bruce's version of Lofton at Auburn?
I think so.
He reminds me a lot of him
and
the way he uses him.
Yeah.
Jared Harper, also a really talented player. Auburn's got a lot coming back.
Yeah, they...
The games versus Bruce are going to be really hard to win this year, but they could also be really fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to...
See some close games between those.
You know, in a way, I'm looking more forward to watching us play Auburn than I am Kentucky this year. I really are, because, I mean, Kentucky's always going to have talent. That's just, ever since Cal's been there, that's the way they are.
Yeah, The storyline with them's never changed.
No, it's always the same.
Although, it will change this year in the fact that, okay, Kentucky, we're not going to sneak up on them this time.
No, yeah.
We're definitely going to be ready for us. They're ready for us in the SEC title game. That one, you know, came down to the last couple of minutes.
We're not sneaking up on anybody. We have the target on our back this year.
That's fine, though, because target number one is still going to be Kentucky.
Exactly.
We're just going to be up there fighting for the throne.
Yeah.
All right, rounding out the second team, Jalen Hudson of Florida. Your second Kentucky, only two Kentucky players. Only two Kentucky players in the first and second teams. So two players overall. Got P.J. Washington.
Okay.
So the two guys Kentucky has are guys that have college basketball experience already.
Yeah.
Because P.J. Washington's a sophomore, and Reed Travis, of course, the grad transfer. All right, your last three here for the second team. You got Quindary Witherspoon at Mississippi State, very talented player. Jontay Porter at Mizzou, still stayed on at Missouri, younger brother of Michael Porter Jr. And the Admiral.
Yeah.
Second teamer.
Is he peanut butter or is he jelly? He's peanut butter, isn't he?
He's jelly.
He's jelly?
He's jelly.
Okay.
Grant's peanut butter.
Okay. Okay.
Your SEC preseason player of the year, Grant Williams.
Yeah. Yeah.
The media. The fake news media.
Yeah.
Not fake news this time. They like Grant to repeat as player of the year. Probably won't happen.
I don't
think it will happen. I think Grant's going to be great, obviously, but it's really going to be tough for him to do that on a team that has as much talent splitting the load as Tennessee does. I like Admiral's chances for player of the year better than Grant's.
I would agree. I honestly think it's going to be a Kentucky player. Because they love giving Kentucky players these kind of accolades. But anybody on our team is going to get it. I agree. It's going to be Admiral.
SEC basketball fever, folks. Catch it.
Yeah.
865-546-8200. Going to hit the first break of the program today on this Wednesday. Call in now to the Keen Team hotline. The phone lines are wide open, folks. Tell us anything that is on your precious mind today. We will be right back after this short break. You are listening to Overtime right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back here on Overtime on this Wednesday, 865-546-8200. That is your number to get on the program with us on the McKinney team with Keller Williams hotline today. All right, back to football. Damn it. We got to talk about the Alabama game again.
Yeah.
All right, we all know who's coming back. And it was made official today that, yes, he's coming back. He'll be somewhere on the sidelines.
Roaming.
He may be hiding. He may have his purple face out in the open for everybody to see. Wow's coming. Butch is coming. The analyst formerly known as Butch Jones, will be coming with the Alabama Crimson Tide back to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Saban said today that Butch will, in fact, be with the team in Knoxville, as he has for all other games this season. And Nick has said that Butch has been assisting offensive coordinator Mike Locksley by providing observations of practices and games and probably refilling his Gatorade and water as he sees fit.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. In addition to maybe washing his car, running to the grocery store. They run down to they still got Piggly Wiggly's down there in Alabama. Probably sent Butch to the Piggly Wiggly down to the Publix.
Get some oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, whatever they need.
Take the dogs to the groomers.
Saban said on Wednesday that, quote, anytime you have somebody on your staff that just coached at a place, he obviously knows more about the personnel. But their schemes on offense and defense are completely different from what they've been in the past, so that's no real advantage at all. Butch can't coach the players, Saban said. He works hard in terms of assisting our coaches in planning and preparation. Butch is a very bright guy, and he's done a really good job at that. He basically assists Mike as much as possible.
Coach speak. Coach speak alert. Coach speak.
How much do you think Saban hates talking about Butch? He hates being asked about Butch.
Who would want to talk about him?
Because is there an intern? Is there like a, you know, a barely paid analyst assistant on a college football program who's been talked about as much as Butch this season?
No.
I say it hasn't been close.
No.
Does Butch being the coach here the last few years and recruiting the majority of the team, does that have any impact?
It has no impact because when he was here, he had no idea what he was doing. He could not utilize the talent he had. Alvin Kamara was second string.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah. We all know about the personnel mismanagements, all that good stuff. But, okay, if Butch had been hired as an analyst at South Carolina, at Mizzou, I'd feel a little worried about he may give the opponent an advantage. There's not going to be any extra advantage. This is not going to make any difference in the final score.
Mm-hmm. No, it won't.
Oh, no. What would Alabama do against mighty Tennessee without the guidance of Butch Jones to give some extra scouting reports on some of the personnel, to give some scouting reports on Trey Smith,
yeah,
on Garantano.
It's not like they've been
on Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings.
It's not like they've been kicking the crap out of us the last 11 years or anything.
Think it matters. I don't think it's really going to matter. Do you think he's going to try to like blend in with the rest of the coaching staff? I think Butch is the type of person. I don't think he can play the heel role. He's not
so.
Like Lane Kiffin.
No.
When Kiffin came back in 2014 as Bama's offensive coordinator, he came out wide open.
Yeah.
Bringing on the jeers.
Yeah.
Taunting the crowd. Butch don't have that type
no.
of attitude in
no.
him. Butch is a coward.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's a reason he was in the band in high school.
Think he's going to come out with, like, a hoodie?
What if they put him with the Bama band, come out with the tuba? Wouldn't that be something? Just disguise him. Put him in one of the band uniforms and just disguise him all game?
What was he? No, he wasn't a tuba player, right? He was a trumpet player, wasn't he?
Was he? Oh, I don't know. Something like that.
Let me look at his band picture. I do believe...
But whatever he played, put him over there with the Million Dollar Band.
I do believe he was a trumpet. He's definitely holding... Oh, God. I think that's a trumpet.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's a trumpet in that old band picture.
Huh. Well, whatever. Whatever they've got extra laying around the band, the band department down there.
Blend them in with the band.
Just have them run out.
They do their little pre-game thing, and he just ever so quietly sneaks on over to the Bama sideline, right to the bench.
Give him one of the hats that comes all the way down.
Taps on Mike Loxley's shoulder. Sir, would you like a refill on your blue Gatorade, sir? I will refill this with resiliency and 63 effort.
63 effort. I wonder if he's had his black stripe removed down there.
I don't know, man. Don't you actually have to be part of something to do?
It's true.
To be in consideration for that?
It's true.
Because he's not even technically part of the coaching staff.
It's true. I wonder if the coaching staff's had any of Barb's chip dip.
Oh, God. I think the Bama dying facilities have much better options.
Than Rotel. Velveeta. Yeah.
He tries to award, like, Damian Harris chip dip player of the week. Damian Harris smacks the crap out of him.
Like, Barb made this fresh this morning.
Like, I don't want this. Get out of here. Get out of my face with this. Man, this storyline's already been blown up more than it should be.
Uh-huh.
And you just know it's going to be talked about all day Saturday.
How bad?
From the CBS broadcast to people tweeting about it, it's going to be so much made of it.
How bad do you think he's going to be heckled? Do you think it's going to be real bad, or you just think some people are just going to let it go?
If people notice him, they're going to boo the crap out
of
him.
Do you think it's going to be as bad as it was at 15 with Kiffin? Or do you think
you mean 14 with Kiffin?
Or whenever he came up here.
No, because like I said, I don't think Butch is going to want to try egg it on. He's going to want to be as incognito as possible. He's probably going to want to avoid being heckled.
Sure.
Because he's all about his self-esteem, and he's very insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these people shouldn't hate me. I did so much for them. Think about those 3 bowl wins in a row.
Yeah,
that hadn't been done here in such a long time.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Your best season, you won 8 games. Thanks. Thanks.
It's going to be blown up so much. And you just know after the game is over and Bama players are smoking the cigars in the locker room, there's going to be some players going to tweet a picture then with Butch with a cigar.
Yeah.
He's going to have the biggest, goofiest chipmunk grin on his face, all purpled and everything, holding a cigar.
I hope when somebody passes him a cigar, he puts
the... They only get that bastard a ring if they win a national title.
Yes.
Do the analysts get rings?
I don't see why not.
Oh, God.
I hope when somebody... When
you
one of the
just
players,
know he's going to brag about that. Oh, God.
I hope when one of the players passes Butch a cigar in
chokes
the locker
on
room...
It.
Well, That, but he also puts the lit in his mouth.
I'd kill for a video of him trying to be all manly, take a puff of the cigar. He's probably choke. Never smoked a cigar in his life, so he doesn't know you're not supposed to inhale the smoke.
Yeah.
He's probably going to try and inhale.
Loser.
I love it. I love it. 865-546-8200. That's the last we're going to talk about Butch the rest of the week. I just had to get it out there because it was one of the topics of the day.
Yeah.
And we know people are going to talk about it. Some people are probably going to ask about it. There you go. That's your Butch Talk for the week. We're going to hit another short break. Overtime will be right back after this. I want to tell you guys about the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty. Travis and Emily McKinney understand that buying or selling a home is a life-changing experience. That's why they have developed a team of highly seasoned real estate professionals who are dedicated to providing exceptional, personalized services for all of their clients. The McKinney team with Keller Williams promises to work relentlessly to ensure that their clients achieve their real estate goals. Give their office a call at 865-548-8267, or you can visit ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. Proud sponsors of the phone lines here at Fan Run Radio, the McKinney team with Keller Williams Realty. Oh, we got Pruitt quotes.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little spicy.
Yeah.
And let's get into the biggest matter at hand here, Cole.
Yeah.
Hit the music! Yeah! J.J. Peterson! We got J.J. Peterson update, folks. You thought it was over. You thought him being on the team, being at school, working on getting in shape. You thought that meant the end of the J.J. watch?
Oh, no. No.
We got some important updates here. Yeah. Cole, lay it on us.
Yeah. So, don't know who it was, but somebody asked Coach Pruitt about J.J. Peterson. If he'll be playing this weekend and whatnot. Coach Pruitt said this, J.J. Peterson is going to be a good football player one day. Right now, we're just giving him an opportunity at outside linebacker to see if he can help us out there. So he's giving a chance. Giving him a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Man. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Would you put him out in the field Saturday?
Why not? Especially first half, but Thule can't play first half.
Why not? Then you'll have three more games to use him.
Move Kirkland to middle linebacker first half. Throw Peterson in there with him.
Do it.
Why not? We're going to get ran over anyway.
See what he's got up there. I mean, he's not going to learn unless he gets out there. And what better offense to go up against than Alabama's?
Exactly.
The best in the country right now.
Not going to see a better one. Yeah.
Why not? Why not? And then you have three more games that you can still use them in to save his red shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As the next couple months progress,
mm-hmm.
the regular season winds to a close, he gets in more shape.
Yeah.
Then you may use him and have him have an impact on the field in some games that, at this point, we didn't think it'd be possible a few weeks ago. But now, there's some crucial games coming up after this.
Yeah. Yeah. Big games.
Maybe you have a must-win at the end of the year against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Throw him in there.
Yeah.
Throw him in there. Throw him in against Mizzou. Throw him in against Kentucky. Do it.
Yeah. I want to see him. I really do. I want to see him.
I don't think it makes a difference really in that final score that much if you play him or not.
I don't think so either.
So put him out there.
Yeah.
Put him out there and see what he brings to the table.
Yeah, I agree.
And hell, maybe if he can like make a stuff for loss,
mm-hmm.
make a good play on defending a pass or something like that.
Yeah.
If he just looks stout and he's still not in 100% great shape, it's going to bode well for the future.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before. I think if he lives up to the hype, as, you know, he was so heavily recruited, he's going to be the leader and captain of the defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead and see what he's got. See what he's got as a true freshman.
Oh, good stuff there.
The white whale making his debut.
Love it.
Let's see. What else we got? Another question was about if Jeremy plans on asking Coach Saban for advice. Coach Pruitt says, it wouldn't be right to ask Saban for advice. He says they're rivals now, so he doesn't think it's fair to ask him for any advice.
That's a dumb question.
That's very dumb. That's dumb.
To whoever asked that, what type of response
dumb
did you think you were going to get? Hey, Coach, it's Jeremy here. I used to work for you. I know we're playing each other this week, but can you give me any advice on you guys? Maybe give me some tips?
Oh, yeah, Coach Saban, he faxed over the playbook this morning. Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy. What a dumb question.
That's really dumb.
I think I know who asked it, but anyway.
We won't mention. I'm seeing some other stuff here. David Ubbin of The Athletic asked old Jeremy if Alabama's the best team that he's ever watched on film. Mm. He says, yes, now it's just six games in, but yes.
Mm. Mm. Ooh.
That doesn't bode well.
No. No.
Damn it.
Yeah. Let's see, another Pruitt quote. He says, these, talking about Alabama, guys are really, really good. They can break tackles. They're physical. Lots of complete football players. They're very well coached. They play the right way. We'll have our hands full for sure. Well, thank you for the insight, Coach. We had no idea.
Great.
Let's see. Apparently, Coach Pruitt does have a joking side to him. Pruitt jokingly says he's going to let Kevin Shearer called the defensive plays this week against Alabama. Don't know if you read anything into that, but we'll see. He says, all those injured guys are working hard getting ready to play. I'm not going to tell Alabama exactly which of those guys might play.
Hmm.
Another smart move by Coach. Pruitt also says he's not going to – oh, no, that's the exact same one. Here's a new one. Our guys have really worked hard every week. We've improved our practice habits. I think they have a little more of an understanding of the standard and expectation we look for every day.
Hmm.
This has been another week we've improved. So that's, I mean, they definitely have improved week to week. I mean, it's been evident. Since game one up until Auburn, they have improved drastically, in my opinion. In my opinion. So hopefully they keep doing it this week. And I mean, it's going to be an onslaught, but hopefully it's not as bad as I'm thinking. Pruitt says, no, it's the same one. I'd say through six games, possibly the best team I've ever studied on tape, you know. Let's see, he says, most of Alabama's defenses have been really good. Most of his other 11 teams, talked about Saban, I guess, since he's been there, didn't lead the nation in scoring. They're leading the nation in scoring, so that's pretty dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. Let's see if we got any new ones rolling in here. No more updates. So as we've come to expect on Wednesdays, pretty bland quotes. Stuff we know. He's not giving away anything. Just kind of boring, just like his old boss was.
Yeah, not too much insight delivered right there.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that Pruitt submitted about Alabama and everything that we all know, and with the spread still being about 4-touchdown spread, I think still at 28.5.
28.5, 29, yeah.
What result Saturday would you be okay with? Just okay with? Not even like thrilled. Thrilled would be obviously covering and then making it with what we have on this team versus what they have. Thrilled would be making it within 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's a thrilling result. What would you just be okay with?
I mean, just 3 touchdowns. Three touchdowns, field goal, something like that, which I don't think they're going to have to kick field goals against us. But, I mean, if we can beat the spread, honestly, it's sitting at 29 right now. So, I mean, even 28 would be fine with me. I mean, they came in here – or what, they beat us last year, what was it, 45-7, something like that? And then yeah. They came in here the year before, and it was like 49-10, whatever. Yeah, as long as it's under 30 points, let me say that. Under 30 points we lose by, I mean, it's an improvement.
And it really is.
It's sad to say, but it is.
Kind of feel like a loser saying that, but it's reality.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, holding an offense like this under making sure they don't score 50,
mm-hmm.
I think that's fine because – if they get into like the 50-60 range on you, which they've gotten to the 60 range on a couple of conference opponents this year, Ole Miss and Arkansas.
Yeah.
If they get up to that range, you get into like demoralizing territory. where it's going to maybe linger on some players. If you keep them from absolutely running all over you on offense, you make sure that you can still make some plays here and there on defense and offense. Make sure you don't get shut out. Make sure you get in the end zone at least one or two times. That'd be fine, all things considered.
Yeah.
I wish we could beat the crap out of them, but...
We won't.
Welcome to reality.
Would you like to hear some team stat?
Throw stats. It on me real quick and we'll hit the spread.
Let's see. Points per game, Alabama 53.6, Tennessee 26.7.
Oh my God, they really averaged that much.
Yeah. Points allowed.
Holy crap.
Points allowed per game isn't that far off. Alabama 15.1, Tennessee 25.3. So just 10 off. Total yards per game, they're averaging 567. And we're averaging 366. So they have 201 more yards a game more than us. Yards passing per game 350.3, Tennessee 207. Rushing yards 216. 0.7 to Tennessee's 159. This is one I found interesting, though. The yards allowed. Alabama 315, Tennessee 358. So not...
Look at that!
Not that far off.
Only about 40-something yards off, Bama. Take that!
Passing yards allowed, Alabama 189.9, Tennessee 205.8. Rushing yards allowed, Alabama 125.1, Tennessee 152.7.
I just love the narrative how Alabama has only a top 15 defense this year, and... That means they're struggling a little bit. Oh, God.
But their offense is averaging 567 yards a game.
God. Let's hit this break. This is making me sick. 865-546-8200. Last segment of the first hour of overtime right after this. Eighty-two hundred. Back here on Overtime for the final segment of hour number one on this Wednesday. Let's head back over to the McKinney team phone lines. Take a call from Roberto. What's up, man?
Evening, gentlemen. Enjoyed the show today.
Thank you, sir.
Long time caller, first time listener.
Finally tuning in. Finally hearing what we have to say. It's a hey, better late than never.
It's interesting. Guys, who's the best defense Alabama's offense has had to go up against this year? You know?
Statistically, I don't know off the top of my head.
Defense. Texas A&M.
I was going to say A&M. I was going to say A&M. What are they again?
What's
41st?
The second best defense Alabama's gone up against this year?
Ooh.
Statistically.
Statistically? I'm going to say Louisiana Lafayette. I don't know.
No, they're actually like... almost to dead last in the country.
No, never mind.
No, try one more. You're close though. You're barking up the right tree.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Give me like 10 seconds, Roberto, because I'm about to look up the schedule.
I'll give you their mascot. You tell me who it is. It's the Red Wolves.
Oh, Arkansas State.
Okay, Arkansas State. What is Arkansas State ranked in total defense?
Okay, they're second best. What was A&M 41st? You said
21st.
21st. Okay, Arkansas State. I'm going to say 87th.
72.
Not too far off.
So part of why those teams are all ranked so low is because they've played Alabama. Okay?
Yep.
But Alabama's basically not played a team with a pulse defensively. And when they did, you know, Texas A&M, I guess that was the closest game they've had all year.
It's been the
they
closest game.
22.
Yeah, it's been the closest game they've had all year. And also, until this Missouri game, the 45 points they scored, that's the second lowest offensive output.
Right. And Missouri's not exactly a juggernaut defensively.
No, they're not.
So my only thought is, it really stinks that it was Raekwon Davis, he gets to stay in, and we lose our guy for helmet to helmet, and their guy's popping off rib and kidney shots.
Yeah, oh, you know, hey man, they said Saban said he's going to discipline. That probably means he misses two.
He's going
to
put him out.
Against the Citadel.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, it's ridiculous and stupid. And for me, at this point, you know, I'd rather have no discipline than something like, he's got to sit out two plays against the Citadel or whatever it's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so incensing as a fan of another team that Alabama gets away with stuff like that. I know they're number one, and I know the conference needs them to be elite, so that the conference can get their dough. But it's kind of sad, really. here's where I'm going with this. You guys are like, what? I want to compete. I want Alabama to look like they've had to play a game, okay? And I would like to be within 3 touchdowns because that would be the closest game they've played all year. If I'm not correct, I believe 22 is the closest it's been. So 21 would be we played them better than anybody else has all year. Because
yep.
I don't think anybody's staying within 21 of Alabama this year, not named that probably Georgia or LSU. And I'm not even so sure that LSU and Georgia can do that.
Yeah.
Their defenses aren't, I mean, LSU's defense is good. Georgia's defense is not great. And I you know.
Georgia got exposed, man. They got exposed against LSU.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think that Tennessee exposed them a bit, just expose them for everybody else. Tennessee tends to do that team, which was nice about last weekend, is we usually expose, we figure out the weakness in a team and we expose it. We're just not good enough to beat them. And then the next 3 teams line up to, you know, kick their ass. So, you know, it was kind of nice to just go ahead and punch that one through last weekend. Which leads me to the last point. Another thing I'd like to see, and I think will be a successful game, would be that Tennessee actually doesn't turn the ball over and doesn't have any gaffes in the kicking game. I think that would be a huge coup against Alabama because their defense is still very good, top 15, and their kicking game, specifically in the coverage and punt rush game, is typically the best in the country, if not, you know, top 5 always. So I'd like to see just no gaffes in those. I'd rather not see a turnover, and I'd like to keep it within 21, and I think I'd be pretty happy. And I'd like for the gods to hold off the rain for us so we don't get freezing cold in those 30-degree temperatures. Guys, have a good night. I always appreciate your show. Take care.
Thank you for a phone call, Roberto. Definitely appreciate it. Yeah, I think staying within 3 touchdowns for this team and how we looked earlier in the year and for how much is still lacking as far as overall great secondary play, offensive line play, Still have a ways to go in quarterback play, even though Garantano looked fantastic against Auburn. For everything you have going wrong against you, if you keep it within 22, 21 with that Alabama team,
yeah,
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, sure.
I am feeling good, and I'm also feeling good if you can still be able to have a couple draws where you move the ball against them. Now, maybe that doesn't end in a touchdown, but you get into their side of the field and you don't just have them dominate you once you cross midfield.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Do you know, a little trivia real quick, do you know the SEC team who has the best total defense right now?
Okay. Is it going to, like, shock me? Is that why you're saying that? Mississippi State.
Yeah. Okay. Yes and no. Do you know who the second?
Florida.
No. It is an East team, though.
Is it? No, it's Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kentucky does have a great defense.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Tennessee is, let's see, 47th. You know who 48 is?
Who's Mizzou?
West Virginia.
Oh, I thought we were still talking SEC.
Oh, no, just reason.
Wrong. Wow. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, take that, Will Greer.
Yeah.
Take that, you bunch of country bumpkins.
Yeah.
Up in West by God, Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take that. We were one spot better than you in total defense.
Yeah.
I don't care if you whooped your ass in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
End of hour number one. Hour number two of overtime is up next. Keep it right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.